Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to effect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. All right. Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? We're live on a wacky Wednesday WTF morning, trying to figure things out and run around like chickens with their heads cut off.
Pretty much. It is one of those days, isn't it? It is one of those days. I swear I take a day off in the middle of the week and then all hell breaks loose.
What's your inbox really like this morning?
Yes, we'll just leave
after
it
after a day off.
It's just a okay, well, yes.
I don't have my birthday hat on.
Don't do it. The irony is you put that post out and like nobody else knew. I've kept it pretty quiet. I've like never put it up online or anything. I think my official birthday, like everybody else in InfoSec, is January the 1st.
Sorry, I had to.
I appreciate it. I got a whole bunch of folks who are like, hey, went out last night, which was nice. Grabbed, I was going to go get sushi, but ended up going, there's a fan of New Mexican place that's close to this neck of the woods, and it's absolutely fantastic, just gorgeous. And they have a wide selection of margaritas, and they do little flights of them as well. So much, much happiness was had, let's put it that way.
That's delicious. So I've had a very hard time finding the restaurants and the cuisine that I really, really like ever since I've moved here. It's been very hard to connect with the food in America. Yeah. I mean, you come from the Middle East, you have some like real vegetables. Some
really good stuff, yeah.
Real.
There are good places. They just got to find them, and they're just... I mean, like this Mexican place is like the thing that confuses the hell out of me about this country, and it did when I first came over here, and it still confuses me to some degree, is like some of the best bloody cuisine places are in freaking strip malls. I can't get over it. It just doesn't compute to me. I'm used to finding good cuisine. You know, you go over to Europe or even the Middle East, good cuisine is in like halfway down an alley on the third left. There's like little darkened doorway and there's like space for six people. And it's like in one place, it was like the best freaking bruschetta that I ever had on this planet. And other places like the best coffee. And you get all this amazing stuff. Or where I used to cook in the UK, it was this gorgeous house. I mean, it was basically a converted stately home we changed the menu every week. It was proper restaurants, whereas like half the freaking good stuff here, god damn it, I just found somewhere else. I bashed myself yesterday. I knew something was hurting. I know, I smashed up my elbow again.
Oh wait, so actually that's the separate, it's not the same elbow where you got the stitches.
Oh yeah. So that was the new mess. That's the new mess there. That's the old mess. That's the stitches, and that's more new mess. So it I avoided the stitches.
Yeah, what are we going to do with you, Chris? Seriously. So for those who don't know, Chris loves to mountain bike. I mean, it's hard not to know. He posts about this all the time. But I got some pretty gnarly pictures yesterday. Beautiful, beautiful pictures. I mean, I got to get out there again. Last week was absolutely phenomenal. It was so good seeing you in person. Shout out to Maria for setting that up. I love what she did there because when you think about, those smaller events, those regional events, in order to connect with people, it's like, okay, well, from a marketing perspective, you're always trying to take a look at what's the ROI of the event. But what I loved about that is she said, you know, straight out the bat, when she had the mic in her hand, she says, this is not about selling, this is about connecting with people. So the metric today is meet five new people that you haven't met before, and come out with five new friends. And I think I came out with 10 new friends, which was awesome, maybe even more. There were about 50 some people there. It was so well executed. It was just super down to earth, great venue, good alcohol, good people. So shout out to you and Maria for setting that up. It was awesome.
Yeah, right time is fantastic. And I think it's, ironically, I've had a talk with a couple of people about it afterwards. And they were like, oh my gosh, we need to do something similar. Do you mind? I'm like, go for it. I don't care. You know, go find a different venue. Who was I talking to? It was the Onyxia crew. So mm-hmm. Sylvain and I and the marketing crew were talking about stuff, and they were saying about going out for like a fancy meal, like an 8-course restaurant. And my challenge with doing anything like that is typically you have, you know, I get to talk to the person opposite me and the two people next to me, and typically that's it. Yes, maybe if there's drinks beforehand, but if you arrive like, you know, at the last bloody minute and you slide in, the best chance you've got is three interesting people. Normal case scenario is one of them that's driving you nuts in about 30 seconds flat. One of them wants to do nothing more than probably talk about work or talk about anything else. And maybe one person you've got some good common conversation to have. And you're stuck with them for like the entire evening. So your perception of that evening is, yeah. And then, you know, there's also a death by PowerPoint, or there's at least some kind of a conversations going on about why the heck you're actually here. So it's a very, very weird situation with something like that. And so for me, it's like, get people out of the normal stuff, get people out of the bloody restaurants, because most restaurants don't have freaking good parking. So let's start with the easy one. As you go to anywhere, you know, we're talking about strip malls and food, you go to anywhere that's got a parking site next to it or that has dedicated parking, the chances are everybody can get there. They're normally not in the middle of bloody town because obviously spaces are at a premium. So you haven't got to worry about faffing around and, you know, you're 20 odd, 30 odd bucks out of pocket for fucking valet parking or something.
You know, that's a good point. But I mean, you think about it in one of the, when Dimitri and I, you know, did the CISO Valley Distillery, the essentials course, we talked about one thing called neurodiversity.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of people sometimes, because of neurodiversity, maybe have a hard time, you know, connecting right off the bat. And, you know, we all know that this industry is chock full of people who are neurodiverse.
Totally.
And imagine, you know, coming into a restaurant, sitting down and having to start talking to people. I mean, to me, that seems a little hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's a really good way of looking at it. And I think the nice thing about this one is it wasn't just a restaurant and a talk about work. It was, you know, as Maria said, and Maria just turned up as well. So, hey-o. As Maria said, it was like, hey, you know, we'll have a conversation. If anybody wants to talk about New Spy, we'll talk about it, but I want you to make friends. There were watches, there was jewelry, there were pens, there was whiskey, bourbon, tequila, rum, mezcal. You know, you had some amazing time with Monica and the team over there. So you had good conversations, Ukrainian conversation. So there was such a diverse set of topics to talk with people about that were right there present that it just opens up the topics all over the place.
100%. I mean, you're just sitting next to a case of like, you know, $30,000 pieces of jewelry and say, hey, look at how pretty that is. Like, that is such a great icebreaker, such a good conversation starter. Got to go back to that shop. I mean, they had such a good collection over there.
I love that.
Not that I can afford a $30,000 watch.
I get into trouble there way too easily. I get it. And the thing about it is, as well, Right Time's got two locations. So the location that we were at is the south location. And then there's one not quite in the middle of town, but like south of town. And again, you walk down steps to get into this. It's on like this kind of multi-level strip. And you walk down and go, where the hell am I going? Open the door and it's like Aladdin's cave. The place is freaking amazing. You kind of walk in and it's like, oh, this is... And you just wouldn't ever go in there like on your own. Yeah. So yeah, totally love the place. And Daniel and Felix and everybody who are there's rivalry, friendly rivalry between the two stores. And it's all family owned, which is the other reason I freaking love it as well.
Yeah. And it's great, you know. So two things. One is I do want to ask, given there was a good deal of whiskey and mezcal and you know, all four of what was it, moonshine.
Oh yeah.
Did anybody buy a watch as a result of the alcohol? That's the question.
No. Good question for Maria. I'm not too sure on that one. Or actually probably Monica thinking about it. Yeah, good question. I know Tara got herself a ring, which is absolutely fantastic. That makes me really, really happy. Tara got herself a ring. So, but I think it's if anything, what I loved about it is it just introduced more people to a topic outside of our industry. You know, we spend so much time focused inside our industry in the peripheries of our industry. And I think,
you know,
For me, I think it's one of those things where it's nice to take a step back and breathe. And, you know, again, all credit to Maria and to Newspire for actually taking a leap, to be honest, because it wasn't traditional. It wasn't normal. It wasn't a focus thing. It wasn't a dinner with a PowerPoint presentation. It was something a little bit off the cuff and a little bit different. And I think everybody just came away going, hey, this was really nicely done. P.S. When the hell are you going to do another one?
And you know, that takes me to my second point. Pardon me. Which is what something that I've been, you know, kvetching about for some time is, you know, these supplement events to the big trade shows, they don't have to be so tightly aligned to selling and to security and to anything technical. Like, you look at some of the best events that happen in our space. You know, Cecil does some good stuff. They go every week and bike, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I learned that from Cecil. Like, it doesn't have to be connected to tech whatsoever. I mean, we're dealing with human beings, and some of the best events that I've done haven't been related to audience first stuff or vendor stuff.
It comes back to, I'm not going to buy, and it isn't just I'm not going to buy. I think it's, this again comes, it's, this is, you know, part of the topic, the power of words. There is no way on this great green planet I'm going to hand over the organization that as CISO I represent on a first bloody email or a first contact or a first anything. It just isn't going to happen. You know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to risk the very organization that I'm responsible for off the bat of a freaking steak dinner. Let's start with the easy one or any of that kind of stuff, because I don't know you as the human. Again, one of the things is, you know, it's always assume best, but it's always plan for the worst. So, you know, when you sit down with any vendor or any partner or any organization that you're buying software, services, systems, or anything from, I want to know who the people are. And you only typically know that outside of a regular standard setting. There's a, you know, I want to see how that person reacts to people outside of our industry. I want to see how they react to service people. I want to see how they react to general population. I want to see, you know, I have walked away from deals before because people have just gotten drunk and gotten stupid. You know, and it's like, okay, if you can't hold yourself accountable to yourself in a situation, especially when it's like maybe the first or second time I met you, you know, if we've been friends for a while, get blind drunk for all I care. I got your back. You know, at least one of us stays relatively sober to make sure the others can actually find their way back. But that's after knowing somebody for enough time. And I think that's where it comes into the difference.
So let's talk about accountability. We kind of, you know, bantered a little bit before 5 minutes before our session today, you shot something over to me. Actually, was it a week and some ago? I'm trying to open it.
Yeah, about a week or two ago. It was, yes. And I was going to make a LinkedIn post out of it, but my in-house legal team gently, very nicely, actually, again, use of words and choice of words and very well approached, very nicely asked me to not use it as an example of a LinkedIn post, because apparently the document itself is classified as confidential. So very, very frustrating in some ways. However, that doesn't mean I don't have a copy of it floating around here that we can talk about in general terms, as they say.
All right. So, before we dig in, why accountability, or should we switch it? Should we dig in and then talk about why accountability?
Let's dig in a little bit. It'll come out during it. Let's face it. It'll come out during it. So, and this comes down to some of the topics around words as well. So this is a very, very, this is our industry and words. So when I come up to you as an endpoint vendor or as a vendor of maybe software that goes onto endpoints so you can manage them and control them and look after them and all those other kinds of words, we as an industry, especially unfortunately on the sales and marketing side, tend to use extreme examples. We use, I've forgotten the right word for it, brain's gone to sleep at the moment. We use absolutes. I will protect, I can do this. I will stop attackers. I will do all of these things. And we go out there and we say this, and we tell people that we can stop adversaries and attackers and people in hoodies, you know. We can stop people in hoodies and all this other kind of stupid shit. And we use absolutes. So we use very, very powerful words. Part of this came about, there's a very good friend who she and I have been talking about things, and she mentioned that in her house, the word hate is not allowed. And I'm like, whoa, that's powerful. And it's one of those things that I hadn't really, and you know, huge, huge shout out to Ali on this one, because she and I have had some really, really conversations, some really, really good conversations around it. And it got me thinking, because we do throw that word around too much. You know, somebody came up to Nico and I caught up the other day, and Nico's like, I know you hate sales and marketing. I'm like, I don't. You know, I get ridiculously frustrated at the absolutely ridiculous uses of, I just went through a quick list of things, but I don't hate on that one. You know, hate is such a powerful word. So when I look at this stuff, take a step back and we go back to this. So on one hand, I've got a vendor that's telling me, hey, you know, we'll stop this, we'll do this, we'll stop the people with the hoodies, with the backlit walls. You'll never have to worry about things again. We've got everything covered, blah, 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 blah. All these absolutes and all these wonderful promises. And then you're like, woo, this is amazing. And I love this. And this is great. And I'm about to sign on the dotted line. And you read the damn document. Don't just fucking sign. You read the document. The endpoint detection schedule, this Schedule E, is a schedule to the master subscription terms to which the Schedule E is attached. If you have purchased the detection services in the master subscription agreement, the Schedule E references the master... Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, there's a paragraph of legalese says that your ass is owned if you sign the document. Read it carefully. Closely followed by no guarantees and disclaimers that the solution includes or may be upgraded to include features that allow you to do the following. Automatically block, quarantine, erase, or what. But I love this one. This is the good one. You also acknowledge the effects of these features and that it is your choice whether to use them. And if you do not want to assume such risk, do not use them, and we are not liable for any loss, deletion, content, data loss of access, or other problems or losses arising from use or misuse. We do not guarantee or warranty that it will delete, find, locate, discover, or quarantine all of your affiliate systems, threats, vulnerabilities, malware, and malicious software. And you and your affiliates will not hold us responsible for such consequences, therefore. In other words, we're going to sell you the shit. We're going to promise you the earth, the planet, and the universe. But don't you dare hold us accountable for anything that we just told you, because we're not actually liable for anything if you sign this document.
I love it how you write. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. Like, I'm going through it here with all the track changes.
Yeah, because I put the track changes on here, and it's basically like, hey, and to Danny's point, basically what it was, that first paragraph is like, you know, thou shalt, if you even look at us in a bad way, we're going to sue you, which is like, yeah. The next one is like, hey, no guarantees and disclaimers. It's an open-ended statement that says everything you even think about, it applies. The next paragraph goes into, hey, we're going to build all these features, but hey, we coded it, but if it breaks, it's actually your fault for installing it because you made the choice to install it. And by the way, if it breaks or it deletes or gets rid of all your stuff, we have no control over what it does anyway, because, you know, we handed it to you. It's your damn fault. And then that paragraph about it doesn't find everything. Basically, it's not our fault if it doesn't protect you. And it's your fault if you install it. So do you want to pay us money?
Yeah. And we pay for this. Yeah. So no accountability here. At what point is there a balance? Like, what point does it come? Because I my assumption is the T's and C's, there have to be some kind of, balance for both sides to protect each other.
There's got to, and I think that's it. There's got to be balance, and there isn't. And that to me is the biggest frustration at the moment, because it's like you've got people out there, and I know this organization, you've got people out there that are basically overpromising, telling everybody that they can control, manage, protect, detect, and all this other crap, and then you stiff this under their nose. And so to me, that removes any of this kind of conversation around partnershiping, or any of this conversation around, hey, we will walk by the side of you, we will be part of this. It's like, no, we're throwing this over the fence, it's your problem. That is an absolute complete lack of accountability. You're right, I think there's got to be a balance. And the balance is, however somebody wants to put it, is like, hey, if you follow our instructions and we work with you to install it properly and you keep it maintained and you keep all the shit together and you keep it patched in a timely manner, we got you covered. And, you know, we'll walk by the side of you if it goes wrong. But if you don't do that shit and you just put it on the shelf and hope it's going to protect you, or you install it once and ignore it for 12 months, then yeah, you're right, you're on your own on that one, because this shit doesn't work that way either. So there has to be a middle ground of, hey, nothing's perfect. And I think this is one of those things on there as well. You know, the Surly bike, the bike that I just bought, I freaking love it. It's, you know, I was reading the warranties, and the warranties are like, hey, look, we've done our best, but metal's metal. It eventually fails. Shit happens, but you know what? We'll do our best to take care of you. And it literally is written that way, and it's fucking awesome. I love the way it's written, because it acknowledges the simple fact that shit fails. It also acknowledges the fact that it could fail because you're an asshole and you ran it off the edge of a cliff. You know, that's me, let's face it. Or it could be as simply the fact that, like, hey, we had a bad Friday. You got the Friday afternoon 4:30 special that somebody was really thinking about going home and watching football with a cup of tea, and that maybe didn't pay enough attention to the welds that day. You know, it's that balance. And hey, we'll take a look at it and we'll do our best to help. And to me, that's the best way of dealing with that stuff is, you know, there's a legalese way of putting it, but it literally is that, because it isn't this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, to Maria's point, she put it perfectly. The only absolute we should ever use is we will help.
Well, yes, but do you require some kind of specification with regards to some kind of plan if something, you know, if shit hits the fan, or like, I'm just trying to understand, what does a well-balanced T's and C's look like, or follow up to when something fails? Like, what does that look like? I don't know if my question is clear. I'm thinking about it as we have this conversation.
Yeah, it is clear. I think it's like any, by the way, Elliot just said,
and on both sides. And
yeah, Elliot just said he's having problems with a feed. Anybody else having problems with a feed, or is it just Elliot? Just checking on this one. I can see you coming in clearly. I look like I'm coming in clearly.
I'm gonna drop a YouTube link too.
Got it, just in case.
Just in case. So give me a second. One second. Here we go.
While you're doing that, to your point, I think it's, it's a balance, you know, it comes back to that balance. You know, I expect it. Okay. So let me put my sales and marketing hat on. If I come up to you and say, as best as I can, hey, you know, you install this widget, but don't just install it and forget it. You know, this isn't a fire and forget job. This is something that's going to be, that needs to have continual tender loving care. It's going to need to be patched. We will keep in touch with you. This is another thing. You know, again, I'll go back to a number of the vendors that we work with, which is like, hey, there's that continual touch point. You know, the folks that we deal with on the networking side of the world, there's continual touch points. You know, Maria's stuff, well, I mean, we catch up with that team on a very, very consistent, regular basis. Some of the other teams. And same thing with the cloud folks. We do a lot of continual touches with our key vendors, because and that's it. It's we do it because it's a relationship, because it's also our responsibility. We don't just buy this, put it in, and hope it's going to protect me for the next 24 years. But put it in and go, hey, there's continual patches, continual updates, there's refreshes, there's new stuff that comes out, there's tuning. both of our worlds change. As an organization, our worlds change, and as the technology, it changes. So let's make sure that we have that consistent set of communications, that consistent set of feedbacks. Now, we are small enough, I guess, that we can do that effectively. If you have a bigger organization, you've got like 50 or 100 vendors or whatever, that becomes harder work to do. So you pick a key, you pick a key environment. So now you go back to that risk classification and probability classification. What should I and what do I need to care about as an organization and as a team?
I'm almost wondering if this, what you had read out, and had all those track changes redactions and everything, is kind of like an excuse to cover someone's ask if they just ghost you after you buy.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I would, and that I think is where my frustration is, because it isn't just the bloody the sales, marketing and the vendors. It's the fucking, it's the technology people, it's the CISOs and the teams themselves. They buy something because, PCI, HIPAA, FERC, NERC, somebody says, hey, you have data, therefore you should put one of these in place. But what it doesn't say, because it assumes the fact that people are sensible, is thou shalt not just put it in place, but thou shalt keep the sodding thing patched and up to date and all these other things. So, they turn around and say, hey, you got to have an endpoint, you got to have this. So people go out and buy the shit, don't fully install it, don't typically take advantage of all of the features of it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, you end up with a stupid shit.
So Ally mentions something very important here, which is vendor-client feedback loop. And we touched base on this a couple times in Audience First podcast. He goes to dailies during integration, weekly for the first month or so, then quarterly thereafter, ad hoc meetings if something comes up. Is that something that aligns with you and your expectation? What do you need in order to be successful on onboarding and continuing throughout the vendor client relation process?
So to me, I know, so the team meets with our cloud folks at least on a monthly, if not on a weekly, bi-weekly basis. Again, we got a pretty extensive cloud infrastructure. Maria and I, we sit down at least on a monthly basis with the team on that stuff and go through things. And a lot of the other stuff that we have is on at least a monthly basis. I know Brad and the crew talk to some of our other tech that we have out there on a very, very consistent basis. To me, quarterly is too far apart because it's too easy to blow it off. You've lost, 3 months between talking to specific systems. To me, is a long time. To me, definitely is one of those things where it's like a regular, consistent monthly touch base to go, hey, look, how are we doing? What's going on? How's everything looking? What have you done? And it isn't just a quick touch base. It's also to some degree, it behooves the partner to come to the table and say, hey, look, we've just got to do this. We've got to do this. And we've got some other stuff. We would love, this is what we're going to have. And it's also setting an agenda. It only needs to be like 30 minutes, but it's also coming in with an agenda. How are we doing? Quick checks and balances. What's coming out of this new roadmap standpoint? And hey, have you updated? And if you haven't, how can we help you do that? Just some general checks and balances stuff on there as well. Again, kind of like reporting, leadership reporting, exec reporting, tech reporting, and then bits and bytes.
Yeah, 100%. So now I want to kind of shift it. It kind of ties into this conversation, but I want to shift it because timing is important. We talk about timing a lot in this podcast, but I've been reaching out to some of the folks in my network. A lot of them are CISOs, and asking, hey, just checking in, what's going on? How are you doing? How are you feeling? We're about to head into the holiday season. A lot of them are telling me, hey, I'm like totally offline until after the holiday. And we're just in November, like beginning of November. A lot are extremely busy right now as they get ready for the holiday shutdown.
Yes.
Next month. How do sales and marketing professionals navigate around the holiday shutdown? Like what's the etiquette or the process to dealing with client and vendor relations right now as we're about to shut off and go drink eggnog and open up presents?
There's that very, very first catch that you hit perfectly, which is it eggnogs? Is it presents? Is it, pick your holidays. There are several holidays around this time of year. It is obnoxious when somebody makes an assumption. This, I think, is where it gets interesting. And this tiptoes around the whole political correctness and all this other shenanigans, but it also acknowledges the fact that you should also know your client, or you should know your audience. Again, back to the use of words. So I have friends from most, if not probably almost all major denominations across the world. I get holiday greetings from them throughout the year for different times of holidays, you know, be them based in the Middle East, be them based in the India area, be them based in various other parts of Middle East, you know, depends on who the heck it is and when the heck it is. It is rough to make an assumption that the entire 8 billion population celebrates Christmas. Let's just start with the easy one. So for me, it's one of those things where if you're going to make an assumption or you're going to say something, at least be careful on it. Don't come up and say, hey, have a happy Christmas, if you don't even know that I celebrate Christmas. For all you know, I go prancing around naked in the woods on, you know, midwinter's evenings. And that's my background. You know, I came from a druidic background. So I have
noting.
Yeah. And the same thing. I mean, you look at the Jewish calendar, you look at the Arabic calendar, you look at the two major calendars coming out of the Indian region, you look at the Chinese calendars. I mean, there's all of this shit going on. So for me, it's acknowledging the fact that, hey, understanding that there's a holiday season, potential holiday season coming up, understanding this is going on, understanding you might or might not be floating around for the next couple of weeks or next month or so. A, if you are celebrating, have a bloody good time, be safe, stay warm and all this stuff. Secondly, if you're not celebrating, I'll be around. And thirdly, anything that we can do now, anything that we can figure out. Yeah, I mean, don't forget the bonfire or prancing naked in the woods. Actually, that was a couple of days ago. Bonfires were a few days ago for the UK. Remember the 5th of November, the origins of what V for Vendetta was actually based on, for those of you that know Guy Fawkes.
Now I need to go back and rehash. I haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, V for Vendetta was fantastic, but it's actually based on, if you look at, and it's actually ironic, if you look at the if you look at the mask from the anonymous side of things and a few of the other things, you take a step back and look at where its origins come from the Guy Fawkes. For those of you that don't know, Guy Fawkes was a little frustrated with the British parliamentary system and decided it wanted to actually blow it up. Guy Fawkes almost succeeded.
This next question actually comes from somebody from a community I'm part of.
Yeah.
You know, I manage social media accounts. I write things for vendors. I write things for myself. Do holiday posts move the needle for you on those accounts at all?
No.
Like,
it's nice to see.
Yeah.
And it's a balance. For a while, I raged. I will be very honest. I raged against LinkedIn turning into more of Facebook, a professional Facebook, because it was getting frustrating to see a lot of that stuff. I'm not keen on seeing the stuff that advocates for, like the GoFundMe, all that stuff. That's a rough one for me. That tends to cross over that side of the line. I get it. I understand it, but I it's kind of weird. But I appreciate, I guess, the human interest stories. I mean, let's face it, I put stuff up there. I'll be very, very honest, because I got to the point I'm like, you can't beat them, join them kind of attitude, but I'm still very, very careful about it. I write my human interest stories with a twist typically in them that relates back to technology or security or my role or getting people to think. If it's a pure fuzzy-wuzzy human story, it doesn't move the needle. It is nice to see those sometimes. Absolutely. It's nice to read about them. But I still want some meat to it. I want to be challenged. I want somebody to challenge me. I want somebody to make me think.
Yeah.
You know, I look to LinkedIn, you know, I've got a couple of news feeds I check in the morning. LinkedIn's actually one of them. You know, there's a couple of others that I check into, but LinkedIn's useful just to do a quick scroll through and see what's going on in the world. But I think it's that.
So
gone.
So we talked about this, I think it was maybe 10 or so episodes ago, but I'm going to break this question down into two. What challenges you, which would spark some interest to engage with content online on social media? And in your opinion, based on your network and your colleagues and peers, what do you think challenges them? Because there's information overload. There's so much theoretical content, some good prescriptive content. There's just so much out there.
Yeah.
And as marketers and sales professionals, we need to engage with you, right? So what challenges you?
To me, I think it is something that makes me think about something I hadn't thought about, a perspective. So I think that's maybe the best way of putting it. It's a perspective. Like, I've had some fantastic conversations, you know, and we're not going to get into it, but I've had some fantastic conversations with, over the last year and a half, first off, started with everything that was going off, you know, with the Ukraine stuff, and then obviously the stuff that's going on over in the Middle East at the moment. I've had some fantastic conversations, ironically, with people on both sides of both fences, to go, how do we deal with this? How does this occur? And it's a different perspective. It's a different point of view. It's coming at it from a different cultural background, a different, you know, ethnicity background, upbringing background. It doesn't matter what it is. It's a view, but it's somebody that's walked a mile in shoes that I have yet to experience. So I look at it that way, you know, and it can be related to our industry. It can be, tangent to the industry. But for me, it's something where somebody brings a different opinion in a way that I can learn from, not in a way that is, you know, I don't know whether you call it blunt or unsettling or whatever you want to call it, but in a way that I can learn from, in a way that actually treats me as a responsible human being, that respects me for my opinions as well, but also allows me to argue, to discuss back and stuff like that. I think, again, it's not an absolute thing. It's, this is my perspective, this is my thoughts, this is why I look at things this way. Challenge me, but challenge me respectfully. So I think that's how I look at things.
Mm-hmm. What about your peers? You know, you're part of a lot of communities. Yeah. You're part of a lot of groups, Slacks, you're in forums.
Yeah.
What's kind of the vibe there? What challenges your peers?
I think it's probably the same kind of thing. I'm fortunate that I read a lot. So I will go from, you know, I will go from taking stuff, you know, taking influences from like Douglas Adams, Terry Pratchett, Tom Holt, Neil Gaiman and people like that and writing that way. But I'll also take a step back if I really need to and go toe-to-toe with people from like the Fenneman Ledgers or the Einsteinian side of things as well. So I'm perfectly happy going either way on those ones. For me, again, it comes back to challenging. It comes back to going, okay, Alan Alford has done a splendid job of it. So Alan's great. And Alan took a really, really interesting perspective over this SEC mess that's currently going on at the moment. And I read an interesting piece that was like, you know, everybody inside the U, all the CISOs inside the US are basically saying, hey, you know, lay off my friend. All the CISOs outside of the US are going, ha, maybe for once you need to have a little bit more honesty and integrity. And it was a really, really, and this wasn't Alan's piece, but this was somebody else's piece. And then it was interesting reading that and then also reading Alan's piece, which is like, hey, you know, be careful what you asked for. We all sat down as CISOs and said, we want accountability. We want to be able to have influence. And we got the accountability. Now we don't necessarily have all the influence that we need, but we sure as hell are getting the accountability now. So yeah, it's be careful what you ask for. So it's really interesting to look at all the viewpoints around that as well.
So in terms of Medium, the mediums we have out there, we have LinkedIn, we have Twitter, we have Reddit, we have Facebook, we have TikTok, we have Schmicktok. I don't even know anymore what we have.
Yeah, we got so much bloody stuff out there. Yeah.
Are there specific channels right now that you're like, you've invested in the past X?
Yeah.
And don't invest in anymore? Like, I don't know.
No, you're right. I mean, that's a perfect example. Yeah. I mean, there's I have Facebook accounts, but none of them are in my name. So we'll leave it at that one. I've got a number of them that I use for research and analytics and stuff like that, but I do not have Facebook in my name. I keep an eye on some of the family and do stuff that way. When I look at Twitter X, I invested a fair amount in that for a while, and then it just became a dumpster fire, more and more of a dumpster fire. And it was very, very hard to, kind of invest in that time and the amount of time it takes. And actually, so I'm like, yeah. And then it just got to a point where I'm just like, I got banned from it. And I'm like, great, that was easy. Made the decision for me, because I was already thinking about just killing it anyway, but there's like done. So for me, it's LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a big one. And then the Slack channels, to your point, I'm on a number of Slack channels. Discord kind of ish, not necessarily so much on that one, but a lot of the Slack side of it.
Yeah. Reddit at all?
I watch it. I read it. I've contributed a few times, again, not under my own name. So I've kept stuff out of that. Same with GitHub and various other things. I've got, I think, two or three profiles on GitHub. A couple are fairly active with some tech and tools that I keep releasing. Again, nothing directly in my name. Got a couple of accounts on Reddit. And then obviously some stuff on the darker side of the internet. I have a number of profiles on there, should we say.
Yeah. So let's circle back to, that's helpful, by the way.
Yeah,
because now as I expand some content, I'm thinking, okay, I've relatively mastered LinkedIn. Should I expand and start stacking with another channel? I don't know. Something.
I mean, it depends on what you want to do. So, a perfect example, like when I picked up the ice cream truck, I got hit up by those guys going, "Hey, do I have Snapchat? No, Instagram. I'm sorry, it was Instagram. Do I have Instagram?" And I'm like, "I think I've got an Instagram account. I'm buggered if I can remember what the hell it is." And I really don't use it, so that was easy. Obviously, you know, TikTok and I are intimately familiar because I ripped the whole thing to shreds and then put a LinkedIn post up. I think it was actually one of the best LinkedIn posts that I ever did. I think it hit on about 700,000 hits on that one. And that's really about it. I mean, LinkedIn's the biggie for me. I mean, I've set up a number of Slack channels for people. I mean, obviously the Tinkerers being the big one, a couple of the other CISO forums I've done. They take a lot of work. I mean, they take a ton of work if you're going to do them properly.
Yeah. Note, by the way, we have 18 minutes left. If anybody wants to come on live, validate some messages or get some advice from us, by all means, let me know. We'll bring you on live to the show. This is what this show is about, is to help you all and be accessible as a resource for improving. So wanted to drop that there. We didn't mention that in the beginning of the show because we just dove straight in.
Let's talk about the power of words for a second, because I'm interested in knowing, because that comes up. I mean, it's, yeah, and it's coming up in obviously a whole bunch of different ways. I mean, I look at my junk messages, and it's just ridiculous how much stuff is overpromised, underdelivered. But I also look at it in the greater context of the world and everything that's going on at the moment. I think what frustrates me at the moment, and this is not just Middle East situation, this is anything. I mean, let's face it, the US just went through its elections last night. Or it's the midterm stuff, elections last night. So you've got all of those conversations going on. There's obviously conversations going on. There are a lot of people out there who maybe believe or do not believe or want to believe what they want to believe about, you know, my body, my choice versus my body, government choice. So there's all those conversations. There's a huge amount of conversations around orientation on what you should, shouldn't, can, can't, do, don't, are not allowed to be, say, or do. And all of these other things. I think it is perfectly acceptable for us all to have our own opinions on any of that. I think that's actually perfectly acceptable. I think the challenge becomes on any of this is I should be allowed to express my opinion, but I should be allowed to express it respectfully. And I shouldn't be shut down because of it. Maybe somebody can challenge me. Maybe okay. Let's take, you know, if I turn around and say, look, you know, I don't like the color pink. Danny, you like the color pink. Well, Chris, why don't you like the color pink? Well, you know, I've got a historic memory of the color pink and being dressed in pink as a kid, and I rebelled against it, and blah 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 blah. Okay, great, that's perfectly acceptable. And I think it's one of those things where I don't feel as society that we allow that to happen anywhere near as much as we should do. And it's tough. Religion's a good one. That obviously the troubles over in the Middle East are another good one. I mean, I want to say some stuff about that, but because of where I work, they've asked me basically to take a step back and go, hey, we really would rather you don't say anything because we're obviously dealing with other bits of that world as well. And so there's so much I want to say. You know, again, I actually had a good conversation with a friend of mine. It's like, hey, if you put on a uniform or you align yourself with a particular faction, you're fair game, as far as I'm concerned. Everybody else on either side of that line should be left the fuck alone. And it's hard to say that in any way, shape, or form. Doesn't matter whether we're talking about the Ukraine-Russian situation. Doesn't matter whether we're talking about the Israel-Palestine situation. Doesn't matter if we're talking about, you know, a third or a quarter of the African continent situation or anywhere else. It's really hard to be able to say that and have a really good conversation about it with somebody. It's tough. It's really tough to be able to do that and not get so much backlash. It's horrendous that we don't seem to allow that to occur anymore, no matter how carefully we choose our words.
Why do you think, though? We don't have enough time for that.
I think some of it is we become desensitized.
Yeah.
Part of it, I think, is we become desensitized. Part of it is because there's no consequences and repercussions of somebody elevating their conversation. If you and I are talking and we're talking, you know, Reddit forum, perfect example. If you and I are talking about conflict situation, we both come at it with different viewpoints. Unfortunately, it is he or she who can type the fastest wins. That's number one. Secondly, if you and I are sitting in a room, I would imagine there would be a very different conversation than you and I on the other end of a keyboard. Not between you and I, because you and I can talk ridiculously effectively. But if you and I didn't really know each other and we were halfway across the world from each other, it's so, so very different. Ryan Clotier says it beautifully, which is we're analog humans in a digital world. I mean, that's probably one of the best ways they can ever, ever say it is you insult me, there's no consequences. You know, whereas if you and I are in the same room, you and I have got to look at each other. If I insult you, I've got to be prepared for you to come over the table and throttle me, to be perfectly honest. So that doesn't happen. And I think that's where some of the challenges come in. Plus, we can hide behind an anonymity as well, which I think is another huge, honestly, if I become dictator of this planet for life, the only way you get onto the internet is if you validate who you are as a human being, including pinpointing your exact fucking location. Because I don't want anonymity out there anymore. There's too many people hide behind anonymity to inflict pain and suffering on others. And it's as simple as that.
Wow, I couldn't agree more on that. I want to talk about validating and verification, and this is shifting a little bit the conversation. This is a deep conversation, but this is shifting to a little bit practical because I saw some people posting about this in the security community. On LinkedIn, there's that verification badge.
Yeah, I keep seeing it. I haven't done anything with it, but I keep seeing it.
Is it like an indication of like, okay, maybe I can trust this person? For you, at least, as someone who is getting, you know, messages from people and interacting with folks, and you're doubling down on LinkedIn.
I know, it's tough. I mean, LinkedIn's a rough one because, I mean, I double down on it, but every single day there's anywhere from half a dozen to a dozen, like, in-mails from very, very nice people out of the Asia Pacific neck of the woods who think I'm absolutely wonderful and the sun shines out of my ass and they'd love to be friends with me on WhatsApp, which is, or a whole bunch of, you know, in-mails where people have not read the intros. So I like the validation. Got to be honest, I don't put too much in it. I actually haven't even looked to see what it does. I have not put enough into it to see if it's worthwhile or if it's another just, you know, I go print myself up another ID card, or let's face it, I go onto a freaking pastebin site or onto the darker site, grab somebody else's credentials and just deal with it that way, or make myself another bloody email address at a random. I mean, there's so many freaking different ways around these bloody things, unfortunately. Mm. I should probably take a look at it and before I say too much, to be honest. Kieran DeVere said on Twitter it is, not on Facebook, LinkedIn it does. So it'll be interesting actually to see on this one. So yeah, it's yeah, it might be an interesting one to really, really dig into and see. I don't probably put as much stead into it as I should do. What I typically do on anybody that wants to connect with me is I'll go look at their profile and I'll go see who they are. And I tend to treat anybody that's coming into this industry like students. If you look through my profile, I got so many students I'm connected to, which is fantastic because I'm like, okay, I'll put a post out. How can I help? And that's students across the globe. There's a ton of folks over in the Asia, India neck of the woods that I'm hooked up and talking with, which I kind of like. So yeah, it's, and there are people I won't connect with. I mean, there are some folks out there that are like, hey, I'd love to connect. I'm doing this, this, and this. I'm like, and you're about to sell me something. I just don't do it.
Yeah. So you're one of many who click in and review the profile and see what the person is about. Yeah. But let's say you're scanning through and we all have the headlines that we try to perfect. I'm going to break this down. How does that headline impact your decision to engage with a person? And what kind of headline would get you to think, okay, well, maybe this is somebody that I can't engage with?
Ooh, are you on about like in the,
if I'm on LinkedIn and I have, you have your general work history inside your profile.
Oh, yeah. But you start looking through like
on the top level. Yeah. On the top level, like you could change how your headline is presented. It's like name and then, I'm founder at Audience First.
That one. Yeah. Okay. Now I see where you're going.
Or to Maria, she's the cyber Swiftie, which we talked about last week.
Yeah, which is freaking awesome. I love that. I mean, it's just absolutely freaking awesome. That one is, yeah. And there was, who is the one that we caught up with at the Watches and Whiskies event? The cyber... She's ridiculously caring. Oh my God, why can't I remember her bloody name? It's really annoying me now. Based down in Colorado Springs, she's absolutely amazing. Her man thing is doing a TEDx talk in December, beginning of December. She's amazing. She's such a caring individual, like stupidly caring individual. And she's called herself like the CISO, like a ridiculously friendly CISO one. I like that. That kind of stuff is good because again, it's more human. Mm-hmm. Oh, Samantha, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have to figure out where she is. So the title thing is, so what's interesting to me is, what doesn't resonate is on those, is again, back to the absolutes. There have been a few folks that have wanted to connect that I see absolutes and I'm like, oh, this is going to get scary, and I'm like, all right, take a deep breath. So let's see how this goes. I think there was one. I'm like, all right, let's see. Monitoring and eliminating third party risk. And I'm like, I'm going to connect, but I'm going to see what the hell happens on this one. Senior product marketing manager, security. I mean, stuff like that I'm okay with because I'm like, all right, maybe they're here to... There we go, the sacred CISO. Maria, you're awesome. Thank you.
Shannon.
Yeah, there we go. That I love. I think that's absolutely fantastic. That to me is like really, really cool. So I don't mind this. The stuff that I think concerns me is when I see all the acronyms, like somebody that's got 10 different acronyms after it is like CISSP, GSAC, CCSK, CCSA, and all that stuff. I'm like, am I about to run into somebody who wants to out geek or stuff like that? Or you've got the ones that that are just about to sell to you. Build your social capital and influence over a 10,000 clients served. I'm like, oh, this one could get messy.
So the call to actions are less resonate with you because it implies, okay, well, there's a hard sell immediately, maybe.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's almost a put off to me because I don't, it concerns me. Mm-hmm. It's you have one opportunity to make that digital first impression. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And if your digital first impression is a hard sell, to me, that concerns me, because it's like, again, as a CISO, it's like, I know I'm a freaking target. Why am I accepting a connection of somebody that's going to want to target me? Or then I have to take a step back. Then I have to take away my assumptions and I have to go, do I give them a chance or not to see if they can prove themselves right or if I'm just about to be nailed on this one. So, you know, I'll still connect. In the most parts, I'll still connect, but I definitely go in, should we say, with a little more trepidation than I would do normally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with anybody that's got sales in there. Anybody that's got sales in their title, it's, you know, it's a 50-50 shot. Is it going to be a good conversation? Is it somebody that's actually going to pay attention? Or is it somebody that's just about to freaking try to sell me without thinking for a second?
But isn't that unfortunate? I think it is. Because that person is doing that, like that's their job. And so they automatically get kind of like.
Absolutely.
Marked.
And that's why I try not to go in again. So this is another, okay. So this is another bloody topic. Preconceptions.
Yeah.
Preconceptions. So this is, you know, first thought, second thought, third thought thing. So, there's another whole set of words for this and I can't for the life of me remember what the hell they are. But this is trying to not go in with, prejudice. There we go. Biases and prejudices. There's the stuff that's at the front, then there's the stuff that's at the back of the head. I can't remember what the hell it is off the top, but somebody else can tell me about it. But this is trying not to go in with those prejudices. Mm-hmm. It's you try to go in with an open mind. You know, perfect example. Somebody comes up and says, I'm in sales. I'm like, all right, you know, let's see what the human is behind the title. Yeah, it's the same thing with a CISO. Perfect example. I mean, there are some absolutely fantastic CISOs, but gods, there are some absolute dickheads out there that shouldn't be allowed anywhere near that title. The title's gone to their head. They think they're an entitled what's it on that one. They wield the power around like, the, you know, like fucking Thor on steroids, you know, you know, it's you look at them and you're like, how the hell did you ever get to that position and why?
Yeah.
But then there are some other amazing ones that have that like servant leadership type of mentality where it's like, hey, I'm fortunate. I made it here. God knows how the hell I made it here. How the hell do I help you do better and make less mistakes? So yeah, it's no different than financial. You know, it's the same thing. I get a whole bunch of people from the financial world who want to connect. I'm like, oh, am I about to be sold another 401k or something? But you just don't know. So you try to go in without those preconceptions, without those biases, without those, you know, and it's no different than people.
Yeah.
You know, I'll challenge people sometimes. You know, it's when you're walking down a street and there's somebody coming towards you that does not look like you, what's that first thought? And can you argue yourself out of that thought if it's not a positive one? You know, if I'm walking down the street, I mean, I'm 6'3". If somebody's walking towards me that's like 6'5" and heavy set and built like a brick shit house, do I go into defense mode? Do I go into prepare mode? Do I go into what mode? You know, and they might walk up to me and be the softest, kindest, most lovely natured person known to mankind that wouldn't hurt a butterfly and probably practices Buddhism. But I don't know that unless I engage with them.
Yeah.
I might go in there thinking I'm about to be pounded or something's going on, especially if color comes into it as well. You know, we've had all these fucking preconceptions thrown at us for so many years that we have to force ourselves to take that step back and go, stop it. And that's that second thought. And that to me, again, is that's about choosing words and choosing actions carefully.
So I feel like we definitely touched base on the guide for the practitioner to engage with sales and marketing. We talk about how sales and marketing should engage with the practitioner. I want us to flip. Mm-hmm. I want us to focus on. Maybe this is a future episode. I know we talked about this maybe 15 mm-hmm. episodes ago because I remember it was a while back. What's the playbook for the practitioner to correctly and authentically and without bias and prejudice engage with good people who are just doing their job?
Yeah, we need to hit that one. I just realized Maria just made me see. I didn't see what the bloody time was. We just hit the top of the hour.
We have literally 30 seconds. I mean, we're going to go over a little bit, but that's fine. I think that's something for us to explore.
Yeah, I love that. Let's do that next week. Let's do that. Let's seriously do that next week. I'll be out in the Middle East next week. So we'll do that next week. It'll be nighttime for me.
Ooh, okay, well, let me know if we need to do any.
Nope, we're not changing it. We're doing it. Yeah, we're not changing shit. We are staying to this. It will be middle of the night, and I don't care.
I love it. See, that's dedication, people. I mean, it only took me 4 years to get Chris to stay up in the middle of the night for me. That's awesome. Okay. Last thing you want to impart in the audience today before we sign off.
Words have power. Use them wisely and use them carefully. Think before you act.
I love it. I'm echoing that. I'm not even going to add on to that. It's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Okay. This was a good one.
This was a good one. Thanks to all those who tuned in and stayed throughout the whole hour. This has been another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. We are